So we pray to God our Father, trying to open more our hearts to His love, trying to become His truly and His children, and so we can live from love. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yes, Mary, help us to keep there always in the present moment under the action of God, as she full of grace, so we can also be full of the action of God, of the love of God, of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and the hour of our death. Amen. And know that recognizing and acknowledging that we are temples of God, God dwells in us, and is the best place for praying and finding Him, as Santa Teresa, San John of the Cross, and all the saints remind us. So give glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, amen. Saint Margaret of Alacoque, pray for us. And Saint Edwin, pray for us. Today we have two saints, two women saints.
Hedwig.
Two women saints. And they were saints because of their prayer, as you know. Any other reason? No, because one of them has seven. One of the women has seven children, not less. And after that, she become a Benedictine, and she, a holy woman. So today we are going to meditate about. I'm going to give you some ideas for this week. Try to work it. It's very important. Not for this week. It's forever. Forever. How we are living from the love of God. I have this, I don't know if somebody is lacking this.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And the other is, you have this, all of you, no?
No.
This is the Soul of Christ, Anima Christi. I think everyone has it, no?
No.
No, I haven't given it to you.
No.
But choice. I will. The next day I will bring more. I thought I gave to all of you. Sorry. Okay. You have time. We are not going. I am not going here deeper. But you have this of the catechism of the Church. About the battle of prayer. I gave it to you. Try to go deeper here, because there are a lot of things that you are going to face in your prayer life, and they are very important. The essence of prayer, as is at the end, is three things, only three things that we are going to try to remind every day. And you have them in the preambles, in the guidelines: trust, humility, and perseverance. We call it love. You read it's about love. And you have it there. I mean, the last part is, even it's called persevering in love. That is, perseverance in prayer, persevering in love is the same thing. So it's very powerful, it's very well written, very clear, very simple, and go to the point of the difficulties that a person has habitually in their prayers, and the reasons of that problems, and in some way how to resolve them. You can make always question if you don't understand something about this, but it's in the Catechism of the Church. So I'm not going to keep here because these are things that are part of our prayer life. Prayer is a battle. Prayer is a battle. I think it's very important at this point when you are distracted that you will, dryness and distractions are the two more biggest problems we have in prayer, no? And I mean, we have to look what is our faith and how is our, where is our heart. He has a very good answer here about distractions, but then to set about hunting down distractions would be to fall into their trap. It's clear, no? It's not we have to, no. When they come, you don't have to set about hunting down distractions, because that will be to be trapped in the distractions. When all that is necessary is to turn, when the whole thing that you have to do is to turn back to your heart. For a distraction reveals to us what we are attached to. Is clear? So your distractions are revelation of what you are attached, and I am attached. My distractions are about my attachments. I don't have distractions about your attachments, obviously. Yours are yours and mine are mine. Why? Because we have attachments. Somebody's trying to come in. It's open. Yes. So distractions are about, and so, and here give a solution. And this humble awareness that what are my attachments before the Lord should awaken our preferential love for Him. So we can now purify the things, how awakening that we want to put Him first for Him, and lead us resolutely to offer Him our heart to be purified. Therein lies the battle, the choice of which master we serve. That is the battle. So distractions are about other masters that we have in our heads. And we can face them. When you face them, you are becoming humble, because you understand the things that are inside you that are not in God yet, and you can bring them to God, no? I mean, it's so simple as that, but we have to know the things that are separating me from God. And they are important because there are several. And everyone has his distractions or her distractions, and facing them is the way of the Lord. So, this meditation that is the for making the source and foundation of my life the love God has for me. So making my life a relationship with the love of God for me. This meditation is not about the love I have for God. No. It's about the love God has for you. Because it's the beginning of faith. The beginning of faith is when we receive in baptism the grace of being children of God. So we are beloved Abba child. And we are loved by Him, and God loves you. The thing is that we are not there always, as we know. And we go to our heads, we go to our worries, we are in the past and in the future, always thinking, because we are not living in the love of God. And it's a way of living. It's a way of living that we have to learn as Jesus, as Mary, they were always there. Where? In the love of the Father. And Jesus came to teach us to remain there. So this meditation, one of the text keys for this meditation is John 15:1-17. The vine and the branches. Another text or two texts that you can use. You need, as we have talked before, we can even bring the next day this text for meditating here together and make the questions about how that meditation I am feeling. But here, and there is John 4, from 8, 7 to 70. These two are so powerful texts, so many things in those texts. I mean, that is a matter of of going deeper in these texts. But so here is making the source, so the fountain and the foundation of my life, the love God has for me. It's very important. What is the image? So usually we give an image, a petition, and a colloquy. And we presuppose that you are doing the preambles. And the first, the preambles, we call these the guidelines that are this faith, trust, humility, and love. these are the preambles. It's the same that is saying in the Catechism of the Church, in the Battle of Prayer. Because we talk about the trust, it says so clear here, seems that I have written it, but I haven't. The most common, yet most hidden temptation is our lack of faith. This is very clear. Don't be confused. That is the truth. We have very little faith. Very little is very little. And the process of union with God is a process of growing in faith. But don't say, no, I have a lot of faith. No, because in that moment, you're not going to grow. We have very little faith. And the most common, yet most hidden temptation is our lack of faith. Because faith is the beginning of everything. And this meditation is about that. It's about the faith in the love God has for me. And immediately you have faith, you have trust, and you have humility, and you want to love God and let God to love you. Faith is the foundation of everything in a spiritual life. But we can grow in it because it's a virtue. So it depends on my choices. The choices I do about faith in my prayer is how I am opening to God. Yesterday, I was reading St. Thomas Aquinas with that thing that is so important. I mean, that faith is about God. But in God, that the greatest attribute of God is simplicity. So when you doubt that God is almighty, you don't believe in God. Because God is almighty. And it's an attribute that is identical to the others. So God is love and God is almighty is the same thing. God is wisdom and God is almighty and love is the same thing. There is no difference. In God, I mean. In us, of course, I mean. And in our way of understanding things. So when you deny one, you deny the whole mystery of God. And you are not before God. Maybe you are before an idea of God, a thinking that you have on God, projecting your own ideas on God. And that is the reason always we come to God. We come, as Santa Teresa of Avila yesterday was teaching us in the Divine Office, we come through the humanity of Jesus. It's the only way of going to God. It's the only way. It's not, you go know God looking to Jesus, because he has come to reveal us the Father. And there is a very powerful expression, it's John 14:9. Who sees me, sees the Father. Who sees me, sees the Father. And he's saying that the Father and me, we are one. I mean, and he says that just going, because you know this text is in the Last Supper. He didn't say that when he was in Jerusalem or in Capernaum. No, he said that when he was in the Last Supper in Jerusalem and he was going to be killed. This is the Thursday. That night he's going to be captured and the next day he's going to be killed. And he's saying that in that moment, who sees me sees the Father. So whatever knowledge you have from the Father that is not coming from Jesus crucified, you are totally mistaken. You are projecting in God your ideas of God. And that is very bad and very... I go to this text because the ideas you have from God the Father are connected with your parents. And your parents, how good they were not enough good for representing God. And so you don't have to blame your parents. You have to look to Jesus for knowing what is the fatherhood and the motherhood of God. You want to know the motherhood through Mary, you can do that, because Mary is an icon of the Father. That is what Mary is. It's a image of the beauty of God and the dimension of femininity that is also in God, because God is not male or female. God is love, and female love and male love are both in God in a fullness that we cannot imagine, because this is the fountain. And so, but here the point is always looking to God, because every one of us has huge problems in accepting God. People, I'm afraid what God is going to ask me. You are projecting in God the fear you have with your parents or your false idea of God. Have this very clear. You are afraid of God because you don't know God. Because it's impossible to be afraid of God, somebody who knows God. The fear of God is the fear of separating from God. It's not the fear to God. That is very different. And we have a lot of fears. Why? Because we continue projecting in God our ideas of our parents. For clarifying, is it not in this meditation, but try to understand that it's very important for your spiritual life. In the catechism of the church, in the meditation that does at the end about the Our Father, it's a very good statement that I'm going to read. So every one of us applies to his life. I have to apply to my life. Even I think that my fathers were amazing. I have to apply this to my parents. And all my, we are 10 siblings, and all of us think we will never give thanks enough to God for our parents. I mean, that is what all my brothers and I think. But even that, I have to purify my heart in according to what is God and who is God. The word father, so it's number of the catechism that you can read and meditate about it, 2779. It's a powerful text. Before we make, that is the word, father. Before we make our own this first exclamation of the Lord's Prayer, we must humbly cleanse our hearts of certain false images drawn from this world. Humility makes us recognize that no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him, that is, to little children. The purification of our hearts has to do with paternal or maternal images stemming from our personal and cultural history and influencing our relationship with God. God, our Father, transcends the categories of the created world to impose our own ideas. And this is my addiction. It's something that I am adding. My ideas, my experiences, my feelings. In the catechism, it's only this, but it's more profound than that. My unconscious way of relating to my parents. To impose our ideas in this area upon him would be to fabricate idols, to adore or pull down. To pray to the Father is to enter into his mystery, as he is and as the Son has revealed him to us. It's nothing to do with what you think. It's clear. Surpass infinitely whatever good thing you can think. Because all the good that is in Mary, all the good that is in Jesus, all the good that is in any saint that has exist, and any good that is in the universe is coming from the Father. So when you are afraid of God, it's because you are projecting in him what Satan put in the human heart in original sin after the sin. They hide from God. And this is a consequence of my sins and your sins. The reason we are afraid of God. And we hide from him. We think that he's going to punish us. We think that he's going to chastise us. He's going to rebuke us. But that is a huge human problem. That even Jesus came to this world for teaching us to who is the Father. Continually is a recursing in the church of the heresy of separating Jesus from the Father. And making like the Father is not so good. There, I am not going there because this is not the meditation. There are a lot of heresies that are all connected with the separation of Jesus from the Father. And thinking the good is Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and the Father is the one who is there like a bookkeeper trying to chastise anyone and trying to bring suffering to the human world. I mean, these ideas are horrible. And if you have those ideas, obviously you cannot have any relationship with God. It's clear. Why? Because I am not going to someone that I am afraid. I'm not going to open my heart to someone that I am afraid. I'm not going to trust in someone that I am afraid. I'm not going to understand the amazing love he has for me, something that I am afraid of him. I mean, it's impossible. That fear is coming probably from your parents. So try to heal that, because it's very important that this text is a purification that is necessary. And for looking to the Father, you have only to look to Jesus. And how? Crucified. That is the way you look to the Father. You look across, and that is how you see the Father. The only way you see the Father is this. And that is the way God the Father loves you. This is the only way. When you are out of here, you are in your thinking, in your emotions, in your crazy words that don't serve for nothing, that are useless in the plan of God, because you are denying God. You are creating an idol for putting it down, or for making idolatry. God is not what you think, ever. God surpasses you infinitely in his goodness, in his beauty, and in everything. And the only way we know the Father is through Jesus. The only reason we need faith. We need faith for a stop thinking and stop projecting in God our ideas of God that are very bad. Is clear this point? Some question about this point? It's very important, as you can understand. Not saying whatever. I'm saying a very important thing, because your affective level was created by the relationship with your mom and your dad. You understand that, no? So you were nothing. You were a clean paper when you were born. And all these ways of understanding yourself, understanding others, understanding reality, understanding who are you, all these things are constituted in your affective, unconscious, unconscious level by your relationship with your dad and your mom. And that is a huge problem, because my dad and my mom were sinners, as everyone in this world. And so that makes in the child some fears and some insecurities, and wanting to now finding things, and they are going to love me if I am good, if I am doing the things correctly, if I have to gain the love of my parents. Every one of us has passed for that, no? Trying to gain the love of his parents. With God, it's nothing about that. You don't have to gain any love. He loved you until the cross of his son. So it's very different, the thing. So, but it's very important that we open to him in faith. Because if not, I insist, we are projecting in him experiences and bad experiences that we have. You know, the first thing that brought sin to humanity, what was?
Pride.
No, the first thing was deforming the face of the Father. That is what Satan did. No, he's saying you that you cannot eat of any tree of the garden. No, he has said also that only of this tree. So he get in dialogue with Satan, that was what he was trying. Because exaggerating, not that much. I mean, he has told her, but she get in the dialogue saying, he has said that we cannot touch any tree. And the tree of life, of life and death, the tree of life, of wisdom. And so I said, no, he's a liar. He's your enemy. He wants to limit your freedom. He knows that if you eat, you will be as God. You will be great. So imagine the monster that he's creating in the head of this woman. A total enemy. But you ask whatever guy outside about God, and you will hear what they say about God. I mean, why? Because we are there. But probably us, in some way, we are there yet. And we need to purify. These are the catechism is inviting us. So this meditation is, would you want to come to the love of God? Always through Jesus. So the image is Jesus crucified. He is the love of God for you. This is the love of the Father for you. His Son crucified. He cannot love you more. You get that? Cannot be a greater love. What do you think, that for Abraham was more difficult, to kill his son or to give himself to die to God? Obviously, much more difficult to kill his son. For God, the same. I mean, but he didn't kill his son. He gave his son to be killed for teaching us how much he loves us and what is the amazing love he has. So never, never, never we doubt of his love. But we, you and me, we are continually doubting of the love of God. Because I have a pain, because I am going to die, because that person died, because that. We are continually denying the love of God. continually in our heads, in our hearts, in our feelings, in our affections, denying salvation continually, continually. Because the only thing that God has come to teach us is how much He loves us. And that is His Son, because we believe in God, believing in Jesus. No? I mean, and you know the expression.
There are several expressions.
Who can separate us from the love of God? It's a very clear, it's Romans 5:10. But this is something that, I mean, even I have to insist, because I know that we have huge problems with this thing. I mean, the Protestants, imagine that can be something that happened in the 16th century inside the Catholic universe that was Europe, when a guy stand up saying that Jesus was then stopping the wrath of the Father and was followed by countries. And this Luther, his name. I mean, imagine how deep is this in the human heart. Imagine that when Santa Teresa of the Child Jesus in the 19th century, at the end of the 19th century, just beginning the 20th century, he was surrendered by people who were in Hansenism. So God is justice and a punisher. So be afraid, because we don't know what is going to happen. And she brought, no, that cannot be, because my dad was so good and my dad was nothing out of God. And she knew that, and so she renewed the spirituality of the church. Renewing what? The fatherhood of God. I mean, God is amazing, but the problem that we have, because this human history, a lot of problems, and Jesus has come, essentially, the first mission of Jesus, the first, the most important, the only thing that Jesus wants you to believe is in His love. That is the love of the Father. That is the only thing He wants you to believe. And we don't believe it. So imagine the problem we have in spiritual life. It's clear what I am saying, no? I mean, imagine the problem. Jesus has gone only for that. I mean, you know, you this every day, Romans 5. Why? Because He wants us to make us His children. Because without the love of God, we are nothing. We are a bunch of problems, for saying something nice. It's the truth, right? Therefore, here it is. Verse 6 of chapter 5 of Romans. We'll read them in next week or the next. For Christ, while we were still helpless, yet died at the appointed time for the ungodly. Indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person. Though perhaps for a good person one might even find courage to die. But God proves His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the verse 8. How much more then, since saved through Him from the wrath, indeed, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, how much more, once reconciled, will we be saved by His life? Not only that, but we also boast of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom you have now received reconciliation. Here, I have heard it a lot of times. It's something that is there in the mind of, even in the church. Sometimes it's so sad to hear this, but it's like reconciliation is that God, because He gave His Son, now He say, okay, now I let you to be my friend. It's the contrary, exactly the contrary. We are His enemies. We think wrong of Him. And He gave His Son because He never hated us. He was wanting to bring us to Him. And when He gave His Son, now we can open to His love and live a different life. So the thing is the contrary. It's not that God, when giving His Son, He changed His heart. No, it's that giving His Son is changing your heart. That is what He's saying. So you open to Him and you believe in His love for you. And all salvation is that. All salvation is only one thing. Believing in the love of God has for you. It's all that. It's only that. Being a sinner, as St. Paul is saying there. I mean, being a sinner. God loves you. It's the only way to stop sinning. The only way for stop sinning is living from the love of God. There is any other way. A person who is not living from the love of God is always in selfishness, because he's looking for love outside instead of looking for love in God. And we are created for being loved, and we need love always. And we are, our heart is always in the need of a love that supports our hearts. But that is only coming from God. And faith is opening to that dimension of love that is what gives us our being, our understanding, the whole thing, and a new creation that is created by God in those who believe in his love. But in those who doesn't believe, no, because why? Because in the moment you are not living from the love of God, you are in your ego and you are totally self-centered, as me, as every human being in this history. Because we were created for living from the love of God. That is from the beginning. We were created in intimacy with the action of God in our souls. As Mary, full of grace, she is the only one that she didn't deny that. And she was always fulfilled by the love of God all along her life. Why? Because she never doubt, especially at the foot of the cross, that God is love and infinite love. It's clear the point. It's very important. I mean, as you can understand, it's very important, because it's the foundation of everything in a spiritual life. It's not something else. It's the basic fact of faith, because it's believing in Jesus. Because believing in Jesus means believing that he is who? The Son of God. That he has a Father. And everything that he has and he is and he gives us is begotten. It's coming from another, not from him. As he proclaimed 1,000 times in the gospel. But we continue separating them from the Father. I cannot do nothing without the Father. What I say is coming from the Father. What I do is coming from the Father. And he repeated and repeated and repeated, and we continue separating them and thinking, oh, I go to Jesus because I am afraid of the Father. You go to Jesus, but for not being afraid of the Father. But that is another thing. But not because you are, I mean, but your fear is coming from your human relationships. It's clear this? And for your lack of understanding of God. I mean, it's horrible, the things that are written in the history. I mean, of, you know, the one of the first heresies that because the God, because that is also in some way in the Bible. Yes, because God reveals progressively. So God reveals with what is called syncatabasis, so with a condescendence with the people of Israel. And you read the first books of the Bible, and the ideas they have sometimes of God are horrible. He's a warrior that wants to kill everyone. Why? Because they are writing what they think about God. And God wants us to know that. But God is revealed only in one place. As is here, but it's John 1:18. You know, it's the prologue of St. John. That is very good that we read frequently for our prayer also. No one has ever seen God, the only Son, God, who is at the Father's side, has revealed him. So that is the mission of Jesus. The mission of Jesus is only one. It's revealing the love of the Father, the mystery of God the Father. And that is very important during this week. You have some questions that I gave you the other day, but I'm going to give them again in case you have lost them. And you have also here in the meditation, do you fear God? And some questions for going deeper, if you fear God. For knowing what is happening in your heart so you can open it, because as you can understand it, you are afraid of God. You are not going to pray never with your heart, you will be done. You cannot pray the prayer of Charles of Foucault, that the only desire is that you will be done. You can't pray that, because in the bottom you are fearful of him. So you are thinking that if I pray this, maybe he sent me a son illness and I get sick and I don't want to suffer. Crazy. So the image for this meditation is Jesus. Take a cross of Jesus. He is the love of God your Father has for you now and here. We have another text that you can read also. It's Ephesians 2:1-10. A powerful text. The other text I quote, I read, is Romans 5:6-10. The only desire of the Father is giving you the Holy Spirit. But you need to believe in His love for receiving His Holy Spirit. You cannot receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that Jesus brought is the promise of the Father. It's not the promise of Jesus, it's the promise of the Father. He promised also, but in the name of the Father. I mean, the Father will send the Holy Spirit. I will send you the Holy Spirit. And who is the Holy Spirit? It's the love between the Father and the Son. And He wants to give you that love. And St. Paul have this very clear. He is living from the love of God. And he's living from the love of God who is within him. You know, Galatians 2, 19, 20. This is a big problem in human history. I mean, this continual distorting of the face of God. In my opinion, that is connected with two dimensions. The evil that is around and our parents that are not enough good for showing us the face of God. When the only mission of parents is bringing their children to the love of God. That is the mission of parents. The reason Jesus came, because Jesus knows that is not working very well in this human history. So he came for saying, even my parents are not good, here I am. Skip the mediation. Believe in the love of God. Skip the mediation, because we need to skip the mediation, because if we remain in the mediation, I mean, we can be in such crazy ideas of God that they are very deep in very many people. I mean, they are very deep. I mean, I know a lot of people who have this fear of opening to God, this lack of trust in God. But the lack of trust is because the contrary of trust, what is? That is exactly the opposite of trust. Fear, that is the opposite of trust. When you don't trust in a person, it's because you are afraid of that person. But I mean, what is the fear of a son of God that has given his son to die on a cross for you? He died for you. You know, this is Galatians 2, 19, 20. So this meditation is not...
Did you say Colossians or Galatians?
Sorry, Galatians... Yeah, I put the test here. 2:19-20. Galatians 2.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let me find the text. It's a powerful text because go to two central ideas. One is this, that is all about faith. Second is that he is living from the love of God. Yeah. It's his way of living. It's not a way of thinking, it's a way of living. And we can be there, yes, of course, if we crucified ourselves. Because faith is crucifying yourself. Faith is denying your thinking, your ways of feelings, your emotions, and putting faith first. And crucifying my ego that is always taking me from God. I give you the impostor so you can get some ideas how huge the ego was for that guy. But I mean, it's only a little description. There are thousands of books written about the false ego that every human being has. I mean, and it's huge. But it's all coming from that protection and fear that I have of not being accepted and loved and wanted and appreciated and approved by others. And everyone has that, I mean. And all the human problems are coming from there because we need love. Put that clear in your heart. When you go to prayer, I need love. I am a poor person and I need love. I am in such poverty that the most important thing that I need, I don't have it. Blessed are the poor of spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of God, and only theirs of the poor of spirit. And love is coming from God. So Galatians 19. For through the law, I died to the law, that I might live for God. So what he wants is living for God. So he died. I have been crucified with Christ. But St. Paul is not crucified. I mean, what is he saying? He's talking something that is not exactly being crucified physically, because he's not crucified. He was never crucified, in fact. He was beheaded some years later, but not crucified.
So much easier.
But never crucified. So he's talking about other thing, no? What is talking? Now he's going to explain it to us. Yet, I live, no longer I, but Christ lives in me. Insofar as I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, that is living crucified, living by faith. I live by the faith in the Son of God, who has loved me and given himself up for me. So for living for God, he has died to himself. He has crucified himself for what? Taking out his thinkings, the situation that were bad, people who were persecuting him, people who were insulting him probably, and for getting away all these things and putting the love of God first, he's living from Jesus Christ, who lives in me. And I now live from the love of God by faith, who has loved me, who? Jesus, and given himself up for me. You know that Jesus and St. Paul don't know Jesus on his life. I mean, when Jesus was in this world, until the day he was crucified, he didn't know, but he knows that Jesus died for him as he died for you. Exactly the same. Every Santa Teresa Fabula, he expressed that. I mean, when you get to this level of contemplative prayer, I mean, you understand that he died for you, he incarnated for you, that he created the Eucharist for you. I mean, it's amazing because God conveying you in your heart his love in such a depth that the only thing that you can do is giving thanks to him. So the image is this. You have always, in the meditations we are going to give, that I encourage you to you don't need to finish nothing. You need to pray, so to open to God. If you are receiving consolation, or some grace, or some deep understanding, or some kind of light, you don't need to go further. Stay there with God. Don't try to finish anything. You don't have to finish anything. This is not about finishing nothing. This is about opening to God and letting him to work in you because he loves you. So if you are receiving something that is a grace of God and you perceive and you notice that it's a grace of God, so stay there. I mean, stay there. Go there deeper. Any questions about this point? I mean, it's very important that we learn to open to the love of God through Jesus, of course, through Jesus. The way is Jesus. He's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. Nobody goes to the Father except through me. I mean, he repeated it 1,000 times. I mean, and nobody knows the Father except the Son, and the one the Son wanted to reveal him. And he put it very clear to the childlike, to the little ones. And the thing is, yes.
Should we pay attention to any like sensations, feelings? I mean, how do we know when it's a consolation or when it's a distraction?
Distraction is more something that is getting you away from the meditation. A consolation is something that is bringing you deeper in the meditation. And so it's making the things easier. Because God, what he wants is to make our life easier. He doesn't want to make our life more difficult. It's Satan who tries to make the prayer more difficult and tries to put hindrances and obstacles in prayer so we don't do it. God, when a person is trying to grow and to improve and to purify himself, the habitual way of working God is consolation. So it makes the things easy. Sometimes it's dryness, but dryness is not contrary to consolation. Dryness is contrary to feeling something. But if dryness comes, is the level of contemplative prayer. If dryness is coming because my heart is not purified, that is a different kind of dryness, that I have to purify my heart. No? I mean, because God is not a deceiver. So if I am in dryness because I continue too much time in the phone, in Facebook, I mean, God is saying you stop that. You want to stop that? Okay, good. But you are going to have problems in your prayer. Why? Facebook is bad, it's good. No, it's not very intelligent. Only that, I mean, it's a thing that is not very... I mean, what is Facebook? It's trying to be recognized by others. It's a communication with others that is not real because it's not a personal communication. It's a virtual communication. And the reason the children are there all the day escaping from their loneliness and fears and insecurities and void. Why? Because doesn't give nothing. Give a feeling that somebody's, I like it. You are here. Okay, good. I mean, it's like trying to recognize, but it's all in this meditation is about the desire of being loved. Try to recognize it in your life. This is what the imposter is about, because this desire of being loved is so strong that creates our way of relating to others. But it's the desire of being loved. It's the strongest desire you have. It's the strongest desire you have. It's ruling your behavior, your way you understand yourself, the way you live each moment in your life, the way you relate to others is founded in this desire. This desire is a desire that belongs to the spiritual dimension of the person. It's a spiritual desire. In the moment, it's not in God, that means a spiritual, open to God, becomes psychological. And in that moment, becomes selfishness itself. So selfishness is this desire. I am going to repeat it because it's very important that you get what I am saying. I mean, it's very simple, but it's very important. This desire, as you know, was your relationship with your parents, because we need love. And God created us in a relationship that is founded in love. That the things are not working, but that is not the plan of God. The plan of God is marriage. That is the plan of God. Eh? That we learn to love in our marriages. We don't learn, no problem. I'm not going there, the point. But as we understand, the plan of God is love. And a person is born from an act of love. That is the union of a man and a woman in a marriage. That is the plan of God. No? So no doubt about it. I mean, it's very simple to get it. I mean, the plan of God is the physical union between a man and a woman in a marriage, in a love that is forever, and the child be born from that act of love. No, that is the reason the church don't let happen all this artificial insemination and all these things. It's because this fact, because the person has a right of being born from love, not from a technical production of a scientific. I mean, a person is not a product. A person is always born from love. And God has done that and has given us fathers, so we, our desire of being loved, attach us to our fathers. You can read a lot of books about the problem of the attachment to the parents. Thousands. There is an old people, Broly, I don't remember well his name, but it was in the 80s, something like that, he brought this out. And it's much, much powerful than Freud. The problem that the Freud is very good for all those who are living sexual disorder lives, and they could keep him. But I mean, this guy bring out this problem of the attachment of the child to the parents and the problems the parents cause in the heart of the children. Because this attachment, because through this attachment, the parents configure, mold, formed the heart of their children. In everything, because the child needs love, obviously, as I need love and everyone needs love, no? The thing is obvious. This desire is how a child is living, but that desire, this desire, that is a very relationship without parents, why God has given us parents? That we open this desire, they are mediators. That is what our parents are, mediators. They are there only for one thing, only one. Opening us to the love of God. In the two dimensions, the mother more, sorry, I go to the question. The mother more about the origin. God as origin, as fountain, as source of love, the giver, that is what is a woman is a mother, is the giver, is the fountain of life, is the giver, and the father more as the goal. As God, as the ultimate end. So as happiness. That is other desire that we will go other day. But these are the two desires of. And these are, God give us our parents, so they open us to God. They have about 12 years for doing that. After 12 years, they have no power. Why? Because in that moment, the desire of being loved is in God or is in the world. In the moment, it's in the world, and now it's coming the things earlier. So children, with 10 are already totally focused in the world because they are not having love in their houses. So they look for love wherever they can find love. And this is the point many children are having. The other day I was with a family that their daughter, I don't know the situation, I don't want to investigate, I didn't ask them. The daughter with 12 has committed suicide. I mean, horrible situation, no? I mean, but it's something that is happening and I think it's going to happen more in this society. Why? Because the lack of love that is inside the families. And the people even are not aware of the lack of love. I remember she was from Sweden, no, Swedish. And she was a woman that she was in charge of taking care of families, you know, a lot of divorces in the 80s was. A lot of divorces, a lot of problems in the families with the children and this, the situations. So she was taking care of that and making feasts, inviting their children to other children and inviting the families for making some connection with them. And she one day she saw a boy, I remember the article, I mean, and she saw a boy that was 8 years that he was hypersensible. So he was more than other children with some kind of sadness. And she said, I was too late when I intervened, when I tried to make the things right. That child with 9 years, he was a brother of medicine of 12 and 9 or 10. I don't remember the age of the brother, but I think that he was 8 years, 9 years. I am not sure, 8 or 9. He hung himself in his house and he wrote a letter saying, I suicide because they don't love me. They don't have time for me. That was the expression of the child at that age. Why? Because parents are there for opening to love. It's the only reason they are. Their first mission is giving love. Two kinds of love. No, it's not a love that pamper, because that is the attachment theory shows how a mother can destroy their children forever. I mean, because this attachment that women create with children that are so strong that they manipulate the children and the children manipulate them is a crazy thing that is there written in the book of psychology, but it's more a woman thing. The father is more about the person who is opening to reality. So what is the mission of the father? Separating from the mother. That is the mission of the father. Is bringing the child to reality, to the world, to grow in virtues, to mature, to come and have an identity different from the identity of the mother. And if that doesn't happen, the problems of identity are there. So, but what I mean here, that is the important thing to understand, is the power of this desire in the psychological level. Because it's something that God wanted. So God has created us with that dependence on our parents so they can open us to God. Not they can open us to them, because your children, when you are little, when a child is 0, 1, 2, and 3, he thinks or she thinks that dad and mom, they are God, they are almighty, they are wisdom, they are power, they are divine providence, they are everything. And growing is knowing that they are nothing. That they are weak, that they are poor, that they have a lot of limitations. But why God has done that? As you can understand, God has done that, and why the power, essential power, is at the beginning. Year pass, the power diminish. So I don't go there to all the problem of education and the psychological problem that is there. But it's a huge thing that you can understand. Why? Because, and that is not working well. So God gave his son to us, so we open this desire to him. That means to be a child of God. He's living from the love of God. Do you have a question?
I'm not sure I can actually put it into words, but we talk about, you know, God being love. And then you talked about the mother and, you know, the child needing that love from the mother and father. It's not just a feeling. It's almost like love could be translated as wisdom or whatever God is, like all the things we need.
Yes, God is the giver.
Like disappearing as I'm trying to say it. I can't.
Yes, for the child, the fathers are the giver of everything to him at the beginning, no? Even the child is receiving the life from the parents.
Yeah, but it's more, like we think of love, we think of like a feeling. Oh, I feel loved, I feel safe, or whatever. But God's love is, it's everything he wants to give us, his wisdom, all his virtues.
Yes.
So it's much more than we can even.
Yes, it's much more than a feeling. It's infinitely more than a feeling. It's God himself. Because love is God himself.
And
all the things that are in the love of God, it's everything with him. So, but the essential need we have is a need of love. But it's not a love that pampers you, so it's not a feeling.
Right.
It's a love that makes you grow.
That
is very different. The love of God makes you holy, always. If I'm not becoming holy, it's because I'm not living from the love of God. Because the love of God is there, as is more, that is the reason he has revealed himself as a father. It's not that he don't have the dimension of a mother. He has given us Mary for understanding that. It's that he's the one who gives us identity, make us the saint we are called to be. But this is action. The one who gives the identity is not the mother, it's the father, even in the biological level. It's the father who gives the identity. But in the psychological level, the same. In the spiritual level, the same. In the sexual level, the same. And in the moral level, the same. It's the father who gives the identity to the person. And we can understand, if we go a little deeper, that we are not going to go, the problem of identity we have in this society. Where it's coming from. So, here the thing is understanding that we need love. I mean, that this desire is so strong that after 12... And when we begin to grow, we try to calm down. So not to show, because the child is clear. He's looking for love and he expresses it. He has no fear of expressing his need of love. A little child is glad that you hug him and kiss him and these things that a child wants. Why? Because he's not afraid. You and me become afraid of not being loved. And now we begin, that is what is called impostor, the false ego is another name is given in many books of psychology and also spirituality, create an ego for defending myself and living in my head. So trying to see how I can get love from the others. And you pay attention to this. This is not working. So pay attention to how this desire is working in you along this week. What are your thoughts when you are with other people, when you are going to a place, when you are going to give a talk? I was coming here and I was thinking, I don't know if I... What are you thinking, stupid man? I think the talk is going to be what God wants, how God wants, and that is going to be good. So, who cares? So, I mean... The things are such, I mean, why? Because the things are going to be as God wants. I mean, I cannot touch the heart of any person. God can touch the heart of every person. So why am I worried? I have to be worried how I'm letting God to be becoming an instrument of God, but not what I'm going to say or if I'm going to do the things well. Or that is ridiculous. I'm going to do the things as I can, I mean, and according to my capacity. But what I want here to bring very clear is that pay attention how this desire... Because the spiritual life is learning to open this desire to God, the desire of being loved. This is to be a child of God. What means to be a child of God? To be moved by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 14, 15. Are children of God, those who are moved by the Holy Spirit. So those who are moved by the love of God. The thing is how we are opening our hearts to that mystery of God. It's difficult, yes, because it means a lot of humility. That is the reason that it's very difficult. Because it means that I depend on others, that I am not self-sufficient. Because when I try to self-sufficient, I am in pride. And now nobody's going to love me. Why? Because nobody loves a prideful person. I mean, but the humble person is always loved by everyone. And we have to try to grow there, in that humility. That is before God, but it's also before men. The saints were not only humble before God. Humility is recognizing only that. Humility is self-knowledge. But not an intellectual self-knowledge of who I am and what are my needs and what I am looking for. That how poor I am. That I am always looking for love. Test yourself. I mean, try to understand why do you do the things, why you get upset with the people, why you get with your children or with your wife or with your husband, why you get angry. It's because they are not giving you the love that you are wanting to receive from them. And because you are not receiving the love, you get a little in rivalry, no? Who is here the first? And it's crazy. But it's because we need love. It's difficult to recognize it. It's so difficult that I haven't found a book in all my life written about this desire. So difficult. But it's the problem of all the seven capital sins are coming from here. So the seven capital sins
are coming from the desire of being lived, because this is selfishness. This is a childish, immature, selfish desire that rules human behavior. And don't let people grow ever. And they remain there, and from that is coming lust. That many men has in 17, 15, 80 years, 90 years, and they never mature. Why? Because they never come from there, because they are continue looking for being loved by the women. And from there come pride. Because if I have to be loved, I have to be perfect, so I need to think that I am perfect. So craving for perfectionism in my head is crazy. But there are even books written about that. You know, there is a book, you guys, it's called Perfect Women. Because even the women has more a strong desire of being loved. Because women is more about them. Men is more about their actions. And so when it's about you, now you need to be perfect. Because how they are going to love you is you are not perfect. If you don't do the things well, your dad is going not to love you. So you have to do the things perfect for your dad. So he loves you and say, my little, I mean, and there is a lot, I mean, it's how Perfect Women is the name of the book. It's written by a woman. Not written by a man. Okay. And it's a book of the 70s. But it's talking about the craving of perfectionism that women has that brings them to a neurotic behavior, to a lot of problems in relationship with people. I mean, and they suffer a lot, because neurotic don't mean bad person, means suffering. Because this craving that you are not perfect, you are very weak, well, you are very poor, you are very little, but you are loved as you are. I mean, but that's only in Christian life you can accept that. That you are loved as you are, that you don't need to be perfect, that you are what you are before God. That you don't need to show anyone nothing. Because your beauty is your interior, is the mystery that you are as a woman, not how the other appreciate you or want you or like you or look to you. I mean, and that is something crazy that is distorting the women and making them that focus in the external, when the mystery of the woman is the interior. Instead of being focused in the interior, that is their mystery and their beauty and their greatness, they are focusing the external as men. And now it's horrible. Because they are losing their femininity. Femininity is the interior dimension of the woman. But this is how she's living as a gift. Of course, as all these things, this is conveyed by the dad. Because it's the dad who is the first love of a girl. And if the dad keep an emotional relationship with her daughter, the daughter is going to look for emotional relationship with men. If the dad keep a relationship that brings her to God and teach her that never put a man before God, that woman will be a strong woman. And there is a very good book that is called Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters. It's an American woman who wrote that book. Why? Because it's affecting totally the personality of the woman. How? Her relationship with her dad, and also with her mom, of course. Why? Because it's how she lives, because this desire of being loved is related to your being. Is your person, is who you are, is your relationship with reality, is your relationship with the others, is how you understand others, people. So it's so powerful that configure all your present. And that always. You want or you don't want, because you are created for being loved. And that is how God has created you. So your parents configure your personality because they are in the place of God, who? The creator. The giver of everything in love to everyone in the universe. Because creating is loving. It's the same thing. And but there is a being who has become self-aware. There is any other being in creation that is self-aware. And we are self-aware that we exist, that we are given to ourselves, and that we are a gift. And to be a person and to be a gift is the same thing. This old theology of the body of Jean Paul II. The dimension, deepest dimension of the person is being a gift. But that is what parents convey to a child, that you are a gift. The reason the church forbidden all these artificial things. Why? Because the person can be only received as a gift, because he is worthy of love. He's not an object. He's not something that I use for my gratification or realization or accomplishment. is a person, is a goal in himself, is loved by his, her own self. And that is also the mystery of the woman that is coming from interior life. So, there are many things here. I don't want to go. So, the petition is in, for me, the petition, so in every meditation, what I encourage you for making it easy. Meditation is a relationship with someone. So try to make the preambles. For me, are always a help. When I do the preambles, I pray much better than when I don't do them. That is what I can say you of my experience. Why? Because I, in that moment, I am putting before God. And I stop in my thinking because I am putting before God. I understanding that He's Almighty, He's in all power in this moment. This moment is of His divine providence, that He loves me with an infinite love, that He wants to pour in me the Holy Spirit. And a lot of things are coming to my heart that wake me and put me in attention to what God is wanting to do with me in this moment and how He's talking to me about the Word of God that I am reading or the Psalms that I am praying or whatever. So I am in more attention because I know that He's God. And this moment is a moment of love of my Father. And so this moment is a precious moment that will not be repeated ever in my life. So I take advantage of the moment. Why? Because I am getting aware of who is God. And I try to move my heart toward Him, knowing that trust, that is the second virtue, is awaiting everything. And when I say everything, it's everything from Him. And imagine what is happening in your heart if you do that. In your prayer, that you truly are coming toward the Almighty God who is infinite love and you are awaiting everything from Him. I mean, the things are changing inside you, obviously. Why? Because you are getting in a relationship with someone who is the source of everything. And you know, trust or hope, and you don't know how to do it, you have 25, 27 of the Catechism of the Church. What is hope? A hope is awaiting happiness and all the gifts that He needs to give to me for being in the union with Him. Because it's all about His grace. It's all about His action. And prayer is a gift of God. And I can do nothing. But if I am truly opening to Him, I am giving Him the opportunity of pouring more graces in my heart in that prayer. So first is the preambles. I encourage you to do them. Some at the beginning are more difficult because we have little faith, we have little trust, and we have little, but we can grow in the virtues. Especially when you are dry, you grow more than when you are When you are very happy doing your meditation is a weak meditation because you are not putting a strength in the virtues. So the virtues, according to Aristotle, even the cardinal virtues, grow through intense actions, as everything in this life. Okay, I want to have good muscles. I'm going to walk. Okay, enough for today. I mean, if you don't make an effort and you don't take a hill or something that is what is going to make you stronger in your muscles, no? That is in the physical level, of course, the same in the spiritual level. When you face difficulties, you have to be glad because now God is giving you the opportunity of growing more in the trials. And you can open more to God because you open to God not because you feel Him. You open to God because you are growing here. And you are getting further in the way of the union with God. That is faith, hope, and charity or love. So first thing is doing the preamble. Second thing is you have an image for your imagination, a text of the Bible that you want to use it. Imagine Jesus is the vine, you are the branches, or look into the cross. And you can go also here, John 7:37. And try to imagine the scene. I mean, Jesus in the temple crying, if anyone thirsts, come to me. And the one who believes, drink. From him will spring streams of living water. I mean, what is saying? I mean, it's only asking us faith and thirst. And thirst, we have it because we have that thirst that is really powerful. So John 7:37 is a powerful text. Whatever text, but try to make an image that keeps your imagination, or you have a stamp of Jesus. I have a cross just in the place I pray. When I am not in the chapel, I have always a cross there in front of me. Why? Because the core thing is the mystery of the love of Jesus. And now it's a petition. That is the goal of the meditation. So it's what you want, what you desire. more you desire it, more you will ask for it. And the petition here is never doubting of the love of God for you. Like, you can make it longer. I have several petitions here in the paper I'm going to give you. But the goal of the petition is, my God, you have given your son to die for me on a cross. Please don't let me each day doubting of that you love me. When something happened wrong, especially, or some cross is in my life. I mean, don't let me doubt, because in the moment you are doubting of the love of God, you are separating from God, because God is love. And God cannot work in you in that prayer. Why? Because you are denying God. You are projecting in God your experiences, and not, you are not opening to the mystery. But you know, the cross, the trials, the difficulties, for those who believe, so those who are in faith, you know what it is. It's power of God, wisdom of God, salvation of God, and communion with God. That is the cross. If you are in faith, because out of faith is a scandal and is foolishness. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 and further. But it's there. I mean, in the moment you are not in faith, whatever kind of cross in your life is a scandal and foolishness. And now you are asking, where is God? Where is God? God is in the cross. And because that's what Jesus came to teach us, I mean, that is, where is God? Here in the Eucharist, we are celebrating the cross of Jesus as a sacrament of actualizing the action of the cross in a not bloodless way, you can say in English.
Bloodless
way, but it's a real way. So he's giving the very action of the cross, he's making it now, the same love. So the petition is the goal. It's very important. And you get at the end a resolution. So a decision. A determination. The word resolution means a choice, but it's a choice that I am going to write it and I'm going to remind it to me. What? In this case, it's connected with the petition. Never doubting of the love of God. And when I doubt, I have a cross here. Every morning and every night, whatever has been the day, I don't care. I kiss five kisses to Jesus, to each of the nails and to the open heart. I mean, why? It's not that I love him. No. It's, I am going never to doubt of your love for me. Whatever is happening in my life and whatever is coming. At the beginning of the morning and at night. So simple as that. But look, something that makes you a resolution of not doubting of his love, because he has died for you in a cross. For you never doubt of his love, because in the moment you doubt of the love of God, this desire is putting you totally in the center of everything in your life. You are totally closing your ego and God cannot work in you. It's clear the point. It's not a desire like others. It's the cause. It's the origin. It's the source of all the desires you have. So in the moment this desire is not open to God, it's worldly, and now it's greediness. It's the seven capital sins. The seven capital sins are coming from that desire. I don't want to take time. You can other day talk about it. The seven capital sins are rooted in the desire of being loved. And now are ruling your behavior, because the seven capital sins are, or deadly sins, are seven reactions of me before different realities. Pride is thinking highly about me. I need to be perfect. I cannot be. Vanity and pride also is judging others and comparing with others and thinking that I am better than others. I mean, it's exalting myself. That is pride in the bottom. Vanity is wanting that the others think about me highly, because I want to be loved by them. If they don't think highly about me, how they are going to love me? And now another kind of thinking, and you can understand, it's all a kind of thinking. Envy is because you have something that I don't have and they are going to love you more than me. I don't like that. I mean, that is envy. I mean, this guy is taller than me, or whatever things, or this woman has a better body than me. I mean, look to what is happening in your heart, because the seven capital sins are all lost. Is the desire of being loved and the desire of pleasure together. So happiness and the desire of being loved, because all male sexuality is founded in being loved. And all the pornography that is there is because men want to be loved. And they want to be loved because women are there like reacting on their masculinity. The macho is there. It's all that. I mean, it's provoking men because men are excited because the woman reacts. It's a male sexuality. It depends on the reaction of the woman. And it's all that love that is there. And women also, they want to be loved. That is the reason they go in the sin of sexuality. The sin of sexuality is I want to somebody hug me and be close to me. The thing is that, and that is a big problem, people think that the love of God is distant, cannot fulfill your heart, cannot totally accomplish your being and bring it to fullness. But he can do that. The reason there are people that consecrate themselves in virginity and in to God. And the two saints that we were celebrating today, both. In a fullness that we want for any married woman. Greediness, the same. Greediness is wanting to have possessions. Why? Because I want the other recognize me. You live in an island alone, you will not want to have many things. For what? But it's all having and having and having for the others, not that I have. I mean, shopping is a kind of sickness that people have for the other people know that I am rich, I have cars, I have money, I can buy a lot of things. I mean, it's all crazy. Test yourself. And anger, that is here, and there are laziness, I mean, and gluttony. This is coming because we are focusing the external, trying to be loved outside, and now the spiritual things don't touch us. Be afraid when you don't have joy in the spiritual things. Be afraid because you are killing yourself in the spiritual level. For the fathers of the church, that is the worst of all sins, of the capital sins. It's called acedia or acedia. You say in English? Yeah. Why? Because he's not tasting the things of God. Habitual, a person who is looking for God tastes the things of God. That is what I know. I mean, I don't know others. I know what I know. I have joy in the things of God and has no problems. If you are looking for God, God touch your heart habitually. And gluttony is because the same. We are empty and we need satisfactions because you are created for joy. You are created for love. In the moment you don't have love and joy, you are going to be looking for it wherever because you need it. This is Saint Thomas Aquinas. I'm not quoting who. No, no. The person who has no internal joy, internal fullness in his heart, is going to look for it outside. And that is the problem of this society. People are so sad, so empty, so void because they, nobody teaching them to open to God, that they are looking now outside in compensation for their emptiness and loneliness and void. So I want to finish at time. So an anger is because, of course, my desire of being loved is outside, so I want the things according to what I want. And now I get upset. What is getting upset? Because your will is not being done. That is what you get upset and impatient. Why? Because you are looking only for your will. The desire of being loved put you in the center of everything, and now it's all about you. If you are looking for the will of God, you never get upset. Because everything is happening for your good and your holiness. Your Father is guiding everything for you growing and coming to the union with Him. As was for Jesus, was for Mary, and has been for all the saints. So now nothing can get you upset or angry, yeah, because you are coming to a fullness in everything that is happening in your life. You can be upset because the evil that is in the world and the lack of love to God, but that is more sadness than anger, because it's another problem. And that moment you will try to be holier. What I mean, all then, and so the resolution, and you have at the end of the meditation, you have the, we call it, colloquy. It's an expression of Saint Nation, and I have keep it. A colloquy is with a Y at the end. Colloquy.
Yes.
Colloquy is with Mary, your mother, that she lives always this desire in God. She always that desire in God. She never looked for love out of God. That is the mystery of Mary. And that is God is fulfilling her always. That's the reason she doesn't want to have a relationship with a man, because she doesn't want to take the place of God in the heart of anyone. She don't want that somebody focusing her totally. She's a mediatrix in total femininity and bringing the mystery of femininity to humanity. That is the one who is able to bring others to God. That means woman. When a woman is not there, okay, have a body of sexual body of a woman, but it's not a woman. The mystery of the woman is the mediation. It's the capacity of mediatrics that he has that the man doesn't. And that is what God gives in the first page of the Bible is there. When a man was looking for a similar help, what is this? He has no original sin. So he knows that was there for God. He knows that. But he said, well, with this body God has given me, what do I do? Where do I go? How I find God? And God did the new creation in which he gave him the woman as a gift. And that woman was the total awareness of being a gift, is the fullness of femininity as is Mary. The problem of that woman is that she pretended to bring that man to her, and that is transformed human history in women that are seducers instead of mediatrix. And this is a huge, big problem in human history. So talk with Mary, because she was always there, and full of grace. The perfect child of God. No, and even at the foot of the cross, she was there, living from the love of God. A colloquy with Jesus, that he came, that you open to the love of the Father. So when you are not believing in the love of God for you, you are totally denying Jesus. Totally is totally. I mean, you don't believe in Jesus. And when you doubt of the love of God for you, you are denying the mystery of salvation. You are denying Jesus. Is clear this point? I mean, try to, in the colloquy, bring that to him, Jesus. So the petition, that is, in this case, is never doubting about the love of God, ask him to help you there and with the Father. And bring to your heart that he has given his son to die for you in a cross. And so try to get the resolution and the goal. And you have there a lot of points here that I'm not going to all them because it's a lot. As you can understand, this thing is one of the human central principle of human existence. And Freud approached a little to this problem, but it's here because he get only the material dimension of the problem. He didn't took the spiritual dimension of the problem that is huge in human history. Why? Because you need love. And you need love always. Always is always. And the moment you are not living from love, you are looking for it. And when you are living with love, you are in peace and calm. You only want to what? To bring others to that love. That is being a Christian. In the moment you are not living from love, you want to bring others to you. And that is not to be a Christian. Look Mary, look Jesus. It's all about the Father, all the saints. It's about bringing other people to God. It's announcing the mystery of the action of God in their lives. Why? Because about God is not about us. But you need to open first you to the love of the Father, because that is the central point of, here you have some text about the being a child of God. Here you have some questions also about if you fear to God. That can be part of the next day. Also, we can bring a test, half a time of meditation about the love of God for you, and later bring the questions. But try during this week to at least read the question and see how you are living then during the week. Because are important for correcting things. God knows everything. You cannot show nothing new to God. Never. God knows everything eternally. But you can open to the grace of God. Get the point? I mean, you are not showing never nothing new to God. He knows everything. Your prayer doesn't... He knows your prayer. He knows everything before you were born. Eternally, he knows everything. So, and why we pray? Because he wants to act in you. Because he wants to pour his graces in you. Because he wants to make you grow. Because he's a father. And he wants your fullness in your humanity. And without his grace, you can do nothing. As Jesus put very clear. But we pray for the action of God in our souls. The reason prayer is growing in openness to that action. More higher level of prayer. More, we will say, I don't like the word, more receiving disposition of the heart. I don't want to use the word passive, because it's not passive. You need a lot of disposition and total disposition for opening to God and letting him to work in you. You know, the higher levels of prayer are more action of God than any other thing. But why? Because the saints don't doubt in any way about the love of God. They are totally open. And because they are totally open, God can work in them always. Without intermission, without, why? Because they are always open to God. And there is reason some saints, as Santa Teresa, they are writing or they are doing things and they get an ecstasy. Why? Because they are so open to God that God can do in them what they want, how he wants. And for manifesting his presence in them, he did these things. And did the stigmas in Padre Pio and these other things in other saints. Why? Because God is almighty. But he needs a heart that is totally in the disposition of believing in his love. In the moment you don't believe in the love of God, you don't have any relationship with God. Why? Because God is love. But the source of love is the Father. It's a mystery because the love is a communion. But what we know, that in the mystery that God is, there is one that is origin without origin. And that is the Father only. This is origin with origin. His creator and all almighty as the Holy Spirit with the Father. But there is one inside the Trinity that is the origin of the three persons. And it's called the Father. And you think that without a Father you can be yourself? I don't think so. But God has an amazing plan for you. That is how you open to his love. So there are several things here, several consequences of this. You can understand it's so powerful that if we live this, our life changes totally. So I don't want to go further. So you have the I gave you this meditation, no? You have it already.
Yeah.
If somebody doesn't have it, I will give it. It's the meditation for making the source and foundation of my life to open this. Do you have it? Is this one that is with the Samaritan at the... That is what he's offering to a Samaritan, no? The love of God. That is what Jesus is offering to this woman in that moment.
We've always been taught, or I've heard that, you know, when God says, I thirst, he thirsts for our souls. But in this class, it sounds like, you know, he's in the desert thirsting. Like, his cross was a, even though he's always with the Father, yes. It was like a desert thirsting for our soul. It's like, how can, you know, the living water be thirsty, but then it's the same as, you know, when he wants to give the Father, win back his inheritance, but the inheritance is for him. So it's like the water.
Santa Teresa of the Child Jesus grasped this point that you are saying, that God is an infinite ocean of mercy and love and tenderness, and he is longing to pour that love in the hearts of people. And he did a consecration to the mercy of the Father. And she talked and he wrote, from that day on, my way was a way of giants. The saints understand the heart of God. This I gave you this question, but in case you are connected with this meditation also, you have them, but in case you have lost them or... Another question also about this, how we are opening to the love of God, but in the same meditation, you have questions that are connected with this. Yes, of course. I think that could be.
So next week, there is going to be a conference.
We will move to the dining room, not the day that they store.
We are meeting. Okay, because I present this that we cannot because of the school conference.
Yeah, so but I have the dining room here.
Okay.
So just
keep
the
but then we are
okay, we finish with a prayer to Mary, asking her, I will bring this the next day for everyone, asking her to give us a humble heart like her. A humble heart is a heart that understands that she is nothing without God, and she's always open to that love of God that makes her full of grace and blessed amongst women. And God was always with her because she was always open to God. He asked her to give us that understanding of the love of God that she has. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and the hour of our death. Amen. And knowing that we are temples of God, as St. Paul was reminding us, Jesus is in us through faith. And through faith, he can change everything inside us if we let him. With glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.